Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Great.
This week, our poem is going to delve into the world of prostate cancer. It's an area that has gotten an enormous amount of attention. We as a society spend an enormous amount of money both on screening and treating prostate cancer. It's something that affects a large number of patients. Unfortunately, for them, most of the people that end up being touched by a prostate cancer diagnosis would never have been impacted by that diagnosis. On the other hand, it is still a major cause of mortality. About 33,000 men die each year of prostate cancer, making it the number two killer amongst men in the U.S. There's a lot of controversy about screening for PSA. There's little recognition that one of the real seeds for this controversy is clearly the poor quality of the PSA test. But another piece of that is that we really have not great information about the impact of treatment. We tend not to screen for diseases, even if they're horrible, if we don't have an effective treatment. This week's poem, coming from the New England Journal of Medicine, asks the question, what is the outcome of different approaches to the treatment of prostate cancer? Clearly an important question. Mark, what did the authors find?
Yeah, there aren't a lot of direct comparisons of different approaches to treating prostate cancer. And this study identified 306 patients who underwent brachytherapy, 292 who underwent external beam radiation, and 600 who underwent radical prostatectomy. Now, this wasn't a randomized controlled trial. This was an observational study, so the patients chose the type of treatment. So that obviously introduces a lot of potential unintentional biases. Some patients underwent more than one treatment, so 35 of the folks who underwent the brachytherapy and radiation also had androgen suppression. And most patients undergoing surgery had nerve-sparing procedures. A range of quality of life and satisfaction outcomes was measured at 2 and 6, 12, 24, and 30 months by asking both the patients and their spouses. And a clinically meaningful change, like we discussed last week, was defined as a change of at least one-half standard deviation, which seems reasonable and is consistent with other studies. Patients had a median age of 59 years, and 9% were Black. The groups differed in a number of ways. The white patients were more likely to choose surgery, while Black patients had more comorbidities, a larger mean prostate size, which is an adverse prognostic factor, and a higher mean PSA, also an adverse prognostic factor. Patients choosing the brachytherapy were more likely to have a low-risk cancer and a Gleason score less than 7, so they were lower-risk patients. The results are pretty complicated, and it's worth looking at the article, which was in the New England Journal, volume 358, issue 12, because there's some really good graphs that show what happens to symptoms over time. And I think it can be helpful to look at those even with patients when counseling them about treatment choices. A few patterns did emerge. Nerve-sparing surgery was significantly better than non-nerve-sparing surgery with regard to sexual and urinary incontinence scores. I'm not sure who would volunteer for the non-nerve-sparing surgery. Seems like a no-brainer there. Patients receiving radiation plus
I hate to laugh, but I mean, destroy your nerve in this group. The other one will be really careful.
Anyway, patients getting radiation plus neoadjuvant hormone therapy had significantly worse sexual outcomes than those receiving radiotherapy only. Sexual function and urinary incontinence scores declined precipitously after surgery, but some recovery did occur over the next 2 years. So if you looked a month after surgery, things were bad. If you looked 2 years later, a lot of patients had recovered some function at least. Worse outcomes were associated with obesity, Black race, larger prostate volume, and a higher pretreatment PSA. And as we talked about earlier, there was some confounding there between race and prostate volume and PSA. spousal and patient concerns about urinary and sexual adverse effect were actually correlated and directly, not inversely, as were outcome satisfaction among patients and symptoms related to sexual function and vitality and urinary function. The authors say that one of the limitations was the 2-year relatively short follow-up period, but that's actually not too bad. And if you look at the graphs, you see that if recovery was going to take place, it was going to happen within those 2 years because the symptom scores kind of leveled out at that point. So quality of life does seem to be significantly affected by the choice of treatment and varies with the type of treatment. We really need more randomized trials, particularly with more patients choosing brachytherapy, which hasn't been as well studied.
I think that one of the reasons for that is that when we get a positive or elevated PSA, where we send those patients is to the urologist, and what the urologist recommends is something in the surgical black bag, not the radiation black bag. And, you know, where we tend, or at least where I see the residents tending to send our patients to radiation oncology, they tend to be people who are older or have comorbidities, so are less likely to be surgical candidates.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think there's really an important place for multidisciplinary teams where you could refer to a center and you have a radiation oncologist and a urologist and they work collaboratively to identify the best patients or obviously clinical trials to help us identify in a more objective way, the best patients.
Right. You know, it's funny that we, at least in my experience on the West Coast, you know, we tend to have those multidisciplinary centers for women. There's the breast cancer center and the uterine center, and, they are psychologists and social workers and, you know, surgeons and radiation oncologists, et cetera. But it hasn't happened, and at least to my knowledge here on the West Coast, it hasn't happened with prostate cancer. Yeah. Anyways, good poem. Thanks a lot, Mark. We'll look forward to talking with you again next week.
All right, great talking to you, Mike. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.